Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of our FootballDieHards.com podcast. I'm Jeff Fernetti here with your midweek update here, and joining me as he joins me each and every mid part of the week, it's Mike Jones. Mike does all of our waiver wire and helps with a lot of the pickups, helps with a lot of those lineups out there. If you have questions, Mike can help you find some of those hidden gems. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
All right, Jeff. Good to be with you today. And ready to get into these fantasy football playoffs, I guess, for everybody out there that made it, and glad to be a part of that elite group.
Yes, it is very good to have you back on the show. And let's get into some of these lineup decisions. The first thing, just to touch on it, because this has been new since we've been on, how about this bizarre Plexico Burris situation and how it affects fantasy owners, in that if you're a Burris owner, of course, and then if you're not, you know, all the benefit you'll have with him being out of the lineup with all those catches and touches going elsewhere.
Well, the one thing I think is he had a bad hamstring injury anyway. It seemed like it was kind of keeping him in him out. And so now you just know he's not going to be in the lineup. He's not going to be playing, and you can just cut him and be rid of him. So it's, there's obviously a couple of players that are going to have to step up and get some targets in instead. And so it offers some, some opportunity because those players aren't, on everybody's, lineups and rosters as it is. So you can go out there, and Eli Manning looks like he's definitely picking up the slack and throwing the ball around the field a little bit, and you're going to have some fancy points available out there.
Now, Mike, obviously our shift towards playoffs and a lot of rosters have been closed as far as waiver wires, a lot of the work that you've been doing throughout the season still benefits this year because now it just shifts over towards plays that you like. You crunch a lot of the numbers, look at a lot of the lineup situations and roster situations. So this continues to benefit us. Let's go position by position and go with some guys that you like. And again, we're talking about some of the hidden gems, some of the guys that Mike has been advising that you pick up through the year. Who are some people that you like this week? We'll start at the quarterback position, or even some people that you would stay away from.
Well, I have to say, all the leagues I'm in anyway, I mean, I'm in, 10, 15, all the waiver wires are still open. So I know that, like, in the big money leagues, a lot of them closed down. But I know for everybody who's in a Yahoo league, you can still go in there and hammer at them every whenever you want, which is always fun you don't have to wait for the certain waiver period to open. You can just go in there and grab them at 3 o'clock in the morning when you get a feel for a player. But as far as quarterbacks go this week. I like Sean Hill. If he's out there, you can be facing the Jets. The Jets have flown cross country a couple times this year and lost both times. And so I like San Francisco this week to put up some points against the Jets. Jets are allowing 259 passing yards a game on the road, which is 28th in the league. And hopefully Hill and Isaac Bruce have been playing very well lately. And hopefully they can get everybody involved. They should be getting Arnaz Battle probably back this week. And so I think Sean Hill is going to be a pretty decent play this week. And if you have some players who are playing in a hurricane or something, like you came across with Matt Castle last week and a couple players last week, that Sean Hill should be in a pretty good situation playing on the West Coast. Another player who kind of falls under that also is Gus Perot. We've been talking about him. He's got some good matchups in the playoffs. This week he's at Detroit. And the only thing you have to be kind of aware of is hopefully you don't fall into what Kerry Collins did last week when they faced Detroit, when they just ran the ball all day, because Detroit cannot stop the run. Obviously, Minnesota has that same type of rushing attack potential, and Gus Frost might only have to throw the ball four or five times for them to score 40 points on Detroit. But again, the same kind of thing, if you got a quarterback who's going to be in bad weather, Gus Frost will be, in a dome, and the Lions do allow 247 yards passing at home, which is allowing a league worst 9 yards per attempt, which is just amazing.
Let me ask you, what do you think about Matt Schaub as he's on sort of his way back? What do you think about him?
Well, in the next couple weeks, he has some pretty good matchups. But this week, playing at Green Bay, first game back, boy, I personally, I know that they kind of got lit up by the Saints a little bit on that fast track in New Orleans. But, boy, they grow the grass high there in Green Bay, and it's going to be pretty dang cold. And I'm not sure with Schaub and his knee kind of on repair is going to, going to be the best play against that very tough Green Bay secondary. I know Steve Smith got loose for a couple big plays last week, but that was it. And I don't expect Houston to really have very much success this week at all playing in Green Bay.
A lot of running back stories out there. You know, you've got Jackson coming back a little bit. You've got this McGahey situation. You know, you've got McAllister getting suspended. A lot of impactful things going around the National Football League at the running back position. Give us some thoughts on that position this week.
Yeah, you know, hopefully people have been kind of setting themselves up for the playoffs here as far as making sure they had all their handcuffs. But it's always, you know, you got to scour it every week if it's available. And, you know, we talked a little bit, I talked about Brandon Jackson early in the week. The latest reports on him, though, are not as promising. Looks like he has somewhat of a quad issue. And, you know, that's kind of been one of the things about him, I think, that everybody's seen, that he doesn't look like the durable, you know, prototypical feature back. And he, every time he seems to get a full load, he kind of gets dinged up. And I think Ryan Grant, he did have a sprained thumb, kept him out last week. So far, reports are good. He's been, you know, having a full week of practice. Should be back in the feature role against Houston. And Brandon Jackson is kind of questionable. And it doesn't look like at this point that he's going to be having any kind of feature role for Green Bay this week. So I, you know, kind of hope, might have jumped the gun in recommending him, but early in the week it looked like he might have a good setup. Another play is with Marion Barber and the toe issue, dislocated toe last week. Tough matchup this week with Pittsburgh. Even if you do have Marion Barber, you're probably going to want to make sure you have the handcuff of charge choice. You hopefully picked him up when Felix Jones went down if you did have Marion Barber. But, you know, Tashard Choice has looked very well when he's gotten the chance to play. They've been, albeit in kind of blowout situations, but he's been averaging 5 yards a carry. I really love him coming out of Georgia Tech. I think he's going to be a great professional football player if he ever does get the opportunity. But down the stretch, Dallas, Pittsburgh, New York Giants, Baltimore, and Philly had some very tough matchups. But the one player, you know, the one player you do want to look at, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is if you saw the, you know, Tennessee game against Detroit last week, you saw what Lendale White was able to do as kind of a second banana to Chris Johnson. I think Chester Taylor has that same type of potential this week. He's been averaging 80 total yards a game since his week 8 bye, getting 3 yards, 3 catches a game all year long. And Detroit's allowing 153.8 yards rushing at home, which is second only to the Kansas City Chiefs in running back points allowed. So I think, you know, Chester Taylor looked very good last week, I think, he against Chicago. I think he's got definitely a chance to score a touchdown, get another of those 80 total yards, and with 3 catches, and you're looking at about 17 fantasy points in a PPR league.
Yeah, that's a really good number right there, and you wouldn't necessarily think about that with him. So, excellent. Well, let's move on and get some wide receivers.
Well, obviously the situation we were just talking about with the New York Giants, and you've got Amani Toomer and Dominic Hickson. We talked about Hickson early in the season. I was really high on Dominic. I think he's a, you know, very explosive player. He had you know, the week that we recommended him against Seattle, when Plaxico was out, he had 4 catches for 102 yards and a score in the first half. And we were looking, boy, this is going to be a monster game, a breakout game. And then he leaves the game with a concussion. And so we really didn't see anything more from him until just recently, the last 2 weeks, when Dominic, you know, kind of took over again for Plaxico. Been averaging 5.5 receptions, 64 yards in the past 2 games. Had a play last week, which he took down to the 2-yard line, which could have easily been a score with a nice red zone target. So he does have that potential. And, you know, this week, you know, against Philadelphia, that's not going to be an easy matchup at all against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So I would kind of temper my expectations for Dominique. But, you know, there he is. He's a good player. But, again, Philly, you got Dallas next week, and then Carolina. So not great matchups for New York, but Eli, with, you know, the running game a little bit dinged up, is coming out. He's throwing 300 yards a game. And so someone's got to be there to catch the ball, and Dominic looks like a good fill-in if you do have to replace Plaxico. Another player who's been just coming on like gangbusters is Mark Clayton. You know, Mark was, you know, one of the best players ever to play in the Big 12, came out with a lot of accolades in the first-round pick, 22nd overall by Baltimore. Had a great first year, looked like he was going to be a breakout player coming into his sophomore year, and really fell off with the quarterback situation in Baltimore. But now they've got a quarterback in Joe Flacco who can get the ball downfield. They're finding creative ways to get him involved. And he made one of the most spectacular catches of the year. I'm sure everybody saw that in the highlights, the 70-yard score, albeit against the Cincinnati Bengals. the one-handed catch that he just caught and just kind of kept his arm out there to hold off the defender and ran in the rest of the way for a touchdown. Also had catches of 45 and 33 yards, and it would be great if they could face the Bengals every week, but obviously he's not going to, but 164 yards reception, and also threw a touchdown, a beautiful touchdown. He played quarterback in high school, and so he can definitely throw the ball. So they're going to find great ways to get him the ball. Washington allowed a 300-yard game last week to Eli Manning. Their defense is all beat up, so I don't see any reason why they're not going to keep involving Mark Clayton. Again, they missed a first-round pick in and had all the great potential. They're going to start involving him even more in the offense. And, you know, teams are looking to shut down Derek Mason, so Clayton's getting one-on-one coverage. And we've had a player, you know,
sure,
that obviously has a hip injury, and I'm not sure how that's really playing in, and you know probably even more about this than I do, but I've been seeing a lot of teams dropping Donnie Avery.
And I
obviously have the hip injury. He's only made one catch the last 2 weeks. And so I guess people are thinking maybe he's hit the rookie wall or whatever. But, you know, if you're feeling brave and you're looking at trying to hit a home run and you want to kind of keep an eye on the situation, he does face Arizona this week. And Arizona, you know, gives up big plays. They gave up, you know, four passing touchdowns to Donovan McNabb last week. And they're going to have to keep up with that Cardinal attack. And I got to believe that Avery's going to be a, you know, if he's available and halfway healthy, he's going to be a big part of having to try to keep up with making explosive plays against the Cardinal attack.
Yeah, for me, he's still a guy that's worth grabbing because, you know, he's had a couple of tough weeks out there. There's no question about it. And the hips slowed him a little bit. But, you know, he's going to rest this week and he's going to play Sunday. And there's not a lot of options with Torrey Holt getting old and a lot of the other guys just learning the offense. The big problem Donnie's had in a number of the other young wide receivers in St. Louis have had, like Derek Stanley's been getting some time, is just the routes. I mean, you know, they went to Donnie Avery went to Houston. Well, they didn't really have a playbook. I mean, they did not have this kind of offense. And now he's on the field for more football than he's ever played. I think it's just one of those I'm playing a lot of football injuries. But no, he is still at this point. You could ask, well, how's he making mistakes? Well, he's never played really with a playbook before. And then you come in and see this Rams Bible of a playbook, then you'll know what the problems are. But, no, I still think that, you know, if you're looking for that home run, and especially now, Mike, when you get into these playoffs and you need a difference maker, especially like in a lot of the high-stakes leagues where you have similar players on similar rosters, he's one of those guys you can sneak in there and maybe sneak out a big touchdown.
That's true. That's true. And he played, you know, played kind of the fun and gun Mouse Davis offense there at Houston. And, you know, they definitely run a system there. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, they didn't invest such a high pick on a guy who doesn't know how to play the game, that's for sure. But, you know, obviously these NFL personnel guys, they're going to look at those numbers. And when Donnie Avery comes out and runs a 4.2 at the combine, he's going to move up everybody's charts really fast. And the thing that I think that could be a difference with him also is obviously with Steven Jackson back, you know, suck that safety up a little bit, take a, you know, make a false step up on having to respect any kind of play action, and Avery can slip past the secondary. And as long as Bolger can get it out there to him, he can make some big plays.
Mike, great information as always, helping people out here come playoff time. We appreciate it. We'll read your work online, and we will catch you next week for sure.
Very cool. Thanks again, Jeff. I look forward to it.
That is Mike Jones. Great information from he and all of our experts as always. Perfect information to hopefully get you into the fantasy mood. I'm Jeff Fernetti. We'll be back at you one more time this week. Good luck this week, everybody. Email questions welcome at Vern, VERN, @footballdiehards.com. Until later this week, so long, everybody.